What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Run Your Mouth podcast. No intro today. Getting right into it. First and foremost, Porch Tour. Dude, this one's going to be epic. Date's going to be announced soon. This is going to be a hell of a run. All sorts of new places, new porches. And then hopefully come September, October, I got a new 30, 40, 50 minutes and we re-hit the Colorados. We re-hit the Arizonas. We re-hit the Las Vegases, the Renos. Gonna be some California dates. Someone just hit me up from Hawaii. Who knows? Maybe I'll go all the way out to Hawaii. Is Hawaii fun? I had a good time in Key West. You know, normally I gotta say, the other day when that when the moon thing was going on, which we'll get into a second, we'll get into the moon thing in a second. Happened to have been my birthday, which, by the way, everyone, everyone do a nice birthday gift for me. And I'm not gonna do some gay shit right now where I ask you to give to charity. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not that kind of a person. We don't need any of your money, but we know what you need. I need you to do as a nice birthday gift, as a nice birthday gift for your truly your host, your yelling extraordinaire. Just right now, go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. If you've already done that on the iTunes, go to the YouTubes, click the notification settings. If you've already done it on the YouTubes, go to the Spotify. Guys, help me scam my advertisers. You know what we do? We look at the numbers. I go, hey, Bobby, the bank, this is how many people I'm reaching. And he goes, great. Here's a nice fat check. Keep promoting my delicious underwear. You guys can taste it. But anyways, just go help me build the Run Your Mouth Enterprises. We're doing good work over here. Want to be getting out more episodes. Hopefully the Leftover Call-In Show coming soon. And we're going to continue doing what we're doing. So, you know, right now, rate, review, subscribe, send a nice message, boost the ratings, email it to a friend, start chain letters, spread the join Run Your Mouth Nations. Go knock on your neighbor's door and prostate the Run Your Mouth movement and get them to start listening to the show. Anyways, there's probably still a couple slots open for Porch Tour. robsnewsroom@gmail.com. You guys can hit me up. Oh, so this was my thought the other day was I kind of wanted to day drink on my birthday because that moon thing was pretty boring. I'm not going to lie. I decided to get excited about it the way that sometimes you get like the season finale for some show that you never watched and everyone's getting excited for the show. And you're like, all right, I guess I'll go watch the season finale. I don't know about you guys. I was actually rooting for clouds and traffic. I was rooting that for all the people that actually got me all excited for the stupid lunar eclipse thing, that this was supposed to be fascinating and exciting. I was hoping that all those people that were going to travel the same way I sat down and I watched the Game of Thrones season finale, even though I never watched the show and I was hoping it was going to suck. I did this. I was hoping that the lunar eclipse thing was going to be uninteresting. And the best part about the extent of how much I enjoyed it is that, you know, first is my area, it was supposed to be 93%. And I was like, in my whole life, an A minus is pretty good. I'm not traveling somewhere for 100%. I'm not an A plus kind of guy. You're telling me that from my area, I can see 93%. And here's basically what you did. You put on the glasses, which someone should have told me with all the news I was reading about this stuff. Someone should have told me 3 minutes at a time. Someone should have told me that. I nearly etched this banana moon into this is the extent of what you do is you stare up at the sun. And the sun kind of inverts where it looks like the moon. You think you're looking at the moon because you just see it as a sliver as opposed to one big circle. And by the way, the sun might always be interesting to look at. I don't normally put on glasses that I bought from $1 from a bodega to trust my most useful thing that God gave me, which is my eyesight. I don't normally go into a bodega, spend $1 and say, give me medical equipment that I can now stare at the sun. You would think if there was one time in your life to spend $15, $30, maybe $150 for specialty gear and make sure that it was actually something, you know, for all the time I spend researching online, this, that, or the next thing and trying to make sure that you're actually getting good equipment. In this instance, it was like the way you buy the stick of gum at the last second, or you realize you need a lighter that I was in some 7-Eleven and they had, I was like, you know what? Those might come in handy. And anyways, I was bored day of. You get all this chatter from everyone talking about how exciting it's going to be. I went to some hill in my town. I stood there with the glasses for way more than 3 minutes because I had no idea that there was a 3 minute rule. Someone could have told me that not one article of all the articles talking about seeing this beautiful eclipse mentioned the 3 minute rule. And then of course, someone later like, oh, you didn't just stare. Yeah, of course I just stared. They're like, you know, there was a 3 minute rule. No one told me the 3 minute rule. Anyways, I'm giving two thumbs down to lunar eclipses. I don't know if maybe you guys got more out of it than I did. I don't know if maybe actually traveling to a place where you get the 100% coverage as opposed to the 93% coverage actually makes a difference. But you know, wasn't too impressed. But that brings me to my next point, which is a general speaking policy. I've had a pretty good life rule against day drinking, and that's I like to drink, but I find that drinking's got about a 4-hour utility window. You want to go from like 8 to 12, 8 to 2, and that's in the PMs. I'm talking you start at 8 p.m. because I've had it. You know, you start, you have that one beer because, you hit the slopes or something, and then you get off the slopes. You really want to have that one beer, and then you got that show that night, and then you got to ride that wave. Or sometimes you got to start drinking just to try and get back to, like, normal light headache, but you're not really enjoying the drinking. So for a long time, I've kind of had a pretty good no day drinking policy, and I think it's served my alcoholism well. I think it's kept me in this long-term relationship. Sometimes you got to keep things fresh. You got to take a break. You got to go on a vacation. You got to come back to your loved one and be like, we haven't been together. And so to me, that's not drinking in the afternoons. You wait for nightfall. You know, you got to be like a werewolf, but for drinking. You got to wait for, except don't wait for full moons. That's ridiculous. I just mean you got to wait for a vampire. You want to be a vampire alcoholic where you wait for the evenings. But then every once in a while, you actually want a day drink, and then you realize you're not in a day drinking city, which brought me to appreciate when you are in the environments where there's a lot of day drinking going on. Like when I was down in Key West, and I was like, I got a no day drinking policy. Anyways, as I just turned 36, I think we might throw out the day drinking rule and convert it to, if you're in an environment that celebrates day drinking, get after it, because you might have occasions where you do want a day drink and there's no good spots to do it without just feeling like an alcoholic. So take advantage of day drinking. New rule, right? You know, I was saying don't day drink because you want to be in a long-term relationship with your alcoholism. So we're going to switch the rule to maybe drink less often, but take advantage of good day drinking opportunities, which can include Porch Tour. Email me, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. WeWist, Twitch won't let me send you money. You should fix that. I should fix that. I didn't even know that there was an option for Twitch to be sending me money. But yes, I would like to take your money. Happy birthday from Lena Spat. Thank you, Lena. That is very kind of you. Rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. Cheers. Roscoe P, is Las Vegas good for day drinking? You know what? Las Vegas is good for going to Skankfest, and that's about it. I've traveled the whole country, and to me, Vegas is not a particularly exciting town, or I'm just not into the whole Vegas-y thing. There's nothing about Vegas that really excites me. It's kind of cool to walk around and see those casinos once. I've heard from people that they got the glamorous shows, the glamorous restaurants, the glamorous this. I find that I'm not excited to go back to Vegas. The porch tours we've done in Vegas have been a great time. The hosts out in Vegas, they got a cool pad. You can get in touch with those people and they'll let you hang out in their drug room with all their fancy lights. That's a cool place. They got a cool pad. Or you want to come out to Skankfest? Skankfest is a good time. You can see all your favorite comics in 4 days. It's Skankfest is a very good time. I get friends that come out at Skankfest. The O'Cradon people come out at Skankfest. Bobby the Bank comes out at Skankfest. Other pals. Skankfest is a good time. Vegas itself kind of sucks. All right. I had an incident because I went up to Stowe this past weekend. And listen, East Coast skiing does not compare to West Coast skiing. I don't know to what extent you guys want to talk about skiing. Don't worry. We'll get into some news. I promise you. You got a storm chase for East Coast skiing. There's something nice to the East Coast mountains that they're a little less glamorous. You can actually park next to the mountain. They actually have like the lodges right at the base of the mountain. You go to the West Coast, everything is way too splendid. Everything's way too glamorous. Also, the amount of money that skiing costs to show up to these places and then have to lug your own equipment. And what it would cost to actually have someone to actually get like the service. That was a horrible stutter right there. Anyways, you got to chase storms. If you're going out to the East Coast, you got to look, see when there's going to be a massive snowfall. I got lucky. I had 1 or 2 days left on my Epic Pass. I saw that they got like 36 inches of snow in April. I had the weekend off and I was like, I'm going to go skiing. And, you ever just know how you're going to die? And maybe I don't want to put this out into the world, but you ever just know, cause I fell quite a few times on this ski trip and I don't normally fall on my skis. My shoulder still feels a little bit jacked, but, it's because I'm riding in the same skis that I bought in high school. And I didn't buy good skis in high school. I went to Sports Authority when it was on sale and I bought some shitty off the rack skis that probably weren't my size then and probably aren't my size now. And I've been skiing in this for, what was I in high school? 20 years ago? I mean, it's crazy to think. 20 years ago, I've been in these skis, and I was trying to ski in these things, and I was just popping out of the bindings. Popping out of the bindings to the point that I had to, like, sometimes I would hit something, and I had to push myself back into my own ski. And I was like, all right, if I'm going to ski on these tomorrow, I have to actually go see a store. And so I go to a store. The guy takes one look at this. He goes, these are some old skis. And I go, yeah, I think the binding just needs to be fixed. And he goes, I'm not legally allowed to work on these. After 10 years, we're not allowed to work on bindings. And then I bullied this nice kid into fixing. I was like, yeah, I totally understand that, but I just think it needs to be tightened. Maybe you could walk me through it. And then he did it. And then I didn't ski the next day because everything hurt because of the falls that I took. And in my mind's eye, I could just see that he didn't know what he was doing, because he even looked at it, he was like, the gauge on this is broken. This is sketchy. And I'm like, nah, it's fine. Just give it a little tight. Just give it a little, you know what you're doing. It'll be fine. And then the next day I was skiing, in my mind's eye, I just saw that the guy was annoyed. He's like, this fucking Jew just bullied me into working on this thing, and him just strapping it in, and you hit some mogul, your leg gets caught. And instead of popping out of your boot, you just snap your knee. And so I didn't even ski that day. Anyways, I think what I'm trying to say is, I probably need someone in my life who can actually start taking care of these things. Maybe that's a butler. Maybe it's a girlfriend. I don't know. Can you go on dates and ask people if they're good at smelling whether or not you left the oven on? Is that a reasonable question to ask on a first date? Hey, what are your Heimlich maneuver skills? You know what? I'd actually just like it if maybe, because I've been on Alibaba recently. I don't know if any of you guys are actually good at Alibaba, want to become a merch consultant, trying to get some merch so I can start slinging some stuff at the end of the Part of the Problem shows. Be out there after porch tour, start hawking some merch at you nice people. But anyways, I feel like you look at the goods and services coming from slave labor in China, and there's got to be a way that someone can just start shipping me a box every month with all the supplies that I need. And if you could like parachute it down, just black t-shirts, disposable sheets. I don't even use towels at this point. You could just send me paper towels for after I shower, maybe start including some aloe on it so it's not as harsh on my skin. Or I guess if I didn't have to do the laundry, you can mail me a couple towels. What do you need? Two towels in a month? Is that the right amount of towels? One set of sheets? There's got to be. How come there's not Lonely Man Inc. or something, and it just can send me supplies for the month? You just combine all the box clubs into one box where you get like the steaks you need for the month. You get 15 black t-shirts, 10 pairs of sheaths. Well, you could probably do 2 days. Oh, 2 days with sheath, I would think, with the way it keeps everything comfortable and separated. Promo code RYM, get 20% off. I wouldn't want to wear my sheath 2 days in a row, particularly if you're exercising. Sheath might be a little too high end for these boxes. We might have to rework the business model, particularly when it comes to sheaths. But when it comes to all your other supplies, so that you just don't have to do any laundry, you don't have to date. You can just continue to be alone for the rest of your life, all comfortably from this one box. Anyways, that product doesn't exist. But you know what product does exist? ZEFHemp.com, Z Extraordinary Farms. We porch toured there last year. You can see the most beautiful pictures of the porch tour of what was probably the worst show that we did. But the pictures were incredible. If you want to see the most picturesque pictures of porch tour, if you wanted to put together a brochure for porch tour and just show off the beauty of being able to watch comedy in outdoor environments, you can go see the pictures that we took from out in the desert, Wes's desert abode. And the show, you can go watch it as well, where I was trying to do comedy in basically what was in the middle of a sandstorm. You guys can watch that clip. It was a particularly funny clip of what was not the best porch tour comedy show, but it was a good time. And anyways, he's got a CBD oil, rattlesnake oil, not just CBD. It's also got CBG in it. I took a nasty fall the other day. I've been using it to really massage into that muscle. It is the perfect amount of silky, and it really lasts. That if you got like an injury going on or a lover that you want to massage, you got a lover in your life, you can take the Zia Extraordinary Farms from ZEFHemp.com. Use promo code RYM. Get yourself 25% off some oil so that you can massage your lover. Or if you're alone, we can include this into the giant lonely boxes with all your supplies for the month, so that if you take a bunch of falls, you could use this to massage your sore muscles. Also got CBG in it to max with the CBD for, I don't know the science behind that. I don't know why that's better for muscle recovery, but I can tell you I've been using it, and it's definitely been helping. Anyways, this was a really long distance to go for just a complaint that I had at motels, that sometimes you check into these smaller places and they haven't spoken to anyone for a while. So they really want to explain every single detail about how the door works, about how there's a place across the street, how where you can park. And I get it. Just, you know what? I don't want to download an app onto my phone But if there's a way that you can just text me a QR code and let me know my room number so that I don't have to talk to a single person, there's two jobs that I most want to see replaced by robots. First, checking into a hotel. I don't know. Either just mail me the key beforehand, mail me a passcode. That works fine. Put a code on every single door, or you can even ask me in advance when I make my check-in what I want the PIN number to be. You text me day of, hey, here's all the instructions for checking in, and then I can show up, just go right to that room and take a giant dump. I don't know what it is about having to check into hotels, but it's the biggest, I don't know. Listen, if you haven't taken a shit in 3 days because you're all clogged up, go somewhere and just check into a hotel. There's something about standing on that line after getting off a flight. You're going to need to use the bathroom, and then you're going to have some guy that wants to tell you about how doorknobs work. And you're like, I understand how doorknobs work. I understand how all this works. Can you just text me the information so that I can move on with my life? All right. Any other random things that I wanted to talk about? Anything you guys wanted to talk about before we get into the news? Because we do have quite a bit to discuss. Two more notes of random bullshit. As long as we're complaining about motels, if you are a barbecue place and you don't have brisket, you are not a barbecue place. That should be against the law. And if you ran out of brisket, the same way hotels will put up like a no vacancy sign so that you know not to show up and have an awkward conversation with them, or at a minimum, give me a free beer. If I sit down at your place and I showed up here because you said that you were barbecue and you don't even have some brisket, you should at least be like, listen, I'm sorry, we ran out of brisket and this entire thing is a ruse with false advertising to get you to eat something other than brisket that probably doesn't even taste as good. But to make it up for you, here's a nice cold bottle of beer. All right, let's take a couple of comments. What do we got going on here? We got LP coming through. I started skiing at 2.5 and my dad would take me down double black diamonds. I've never not felt like I'm going to die out there. Fair point. By the way, be on the lookout. We've got a Dallas date coming as a part of the porch tour. John Castle letting me know I'm looking tight. Thank you, sir. Some quack. Rob needs a good sturdy homestead wife. There you go. All right, guys, I got a new segment and then we're going to get into the news. Which is, I've got an incredible talent, and I don't know if I've ever talked about on this talent on the show, but I'm a pastry whisperer. And what that means is, if you ever needed a consultant to walk into a bakery and let you know which of those pastries was going to be delicious, I would be that guy. Pastries, they talk to me. They're behind that little cake, that little case, and they let me know what's delicious. And I got like a sixth sense. It's like a conversation. I can come in and the way some people can see colors, or they can talk to the dead, or they can talk to your relative, or they can sense things about who you are as a person. I've got psychic powers when it comes to delicious pastries. I don't even need to put my hand on the case, although sometimes that helps. I can just feel the energy of the muffins and let you know what would be the most delicious in any environment. And I also get to tour the whole world. And when I tour the whole world, I like tasting the pastries of your different areas. And I know that there was a time where we used to talk about sandwiches on this show, left, right, back in the old Yosef era of the Run Your Mouth podcast. And I've mostly retired from talking about sandwiches because I'm out of the cheese game. And I feel like I can't be talking and reviewing sandwiches without such a crucial element of daily sandwich consumption being out of my diet. Now, I don't understand the way that my IBS works or the way that my lactose intolerance works, but for some reason, I don't know, there's a level of pastry consumption that I seem to get away with. I feel like butter and maybe milk isn't that bad. I can't explain it to you. If I were to have a cup of milk, I'd be nauseous. If I ate cheese, I'd have a real problem. But for some reason, I can eat a donut here, there, a cookie here and there, and it doesn't seem to kill me in the same way. I can't explain that to you. Maybe it's just my own mental illness of deciding that I'm allergic to dairy, but still eating baked goods all the time. I can't explain. And by the way, there's some baked goods I won't touch. Like, I wouldn't touch a cheesecake, or like if something's like overly milky, I'm not going to touch it. But there seems to be some sort of a balance that a typical pastry I can eat. And so anyways, I'm out there. I'm out on the road. I taste pastries all over the place. And so we're not going to be reviewing things. We're not going to be giving them scores out of 5, scores out of 10. We're not going to be, you got to be something really exceptional. I got to walk into a bakery. You got to have something over the top that I wouldn't have even thought would have been good. You got to taste it. And then over the course of the year, I'm going to let you know whether or not something is in the running for the pastry of the year. And we'll have one winner every single year. So like, for example, when I was out in Kansas City, me and BK Chris, we ate at this diner. And that was one of the best meals I've ever had on the road. And we ate this pecan honey bun, and it was okay. The meal overall was great. You guys can go to my Instagram. You can see a picture of that delicious pecan honey bun. But I wouldn't put it in the running for pastry of the year. For pastry of the year, like what I'm saying is that if you're even in the running for pastry of the year, that means that you have a rather exceptional pastry, and there will only be one winner. Maybe we'll be able to end the contract dispute with Yosef. We'll get him to come back for the pastry of the year episode, and we'll reach out to all these establishments and see if they'll mail us all the things that I thought were in the running for pastry of the year, and then we'll come to a decision. But while I was out in wherever I was out by Stowe, skied a day and not the second day because I was in broken equipment and I fell too many times. And then I was a pussy and got in my head that I was going to hurt myself. But I stopped at this place, the Stowe Bee Bakery. And this isn't the only thing I ate, but it's the only thing that's in the running for pastry of the year is I ate this s'mores bar. And now this isn't even the best picture because this thing was so delicious while I was driving. I decided I needed to take a picture. I don't know what kind of trouble you can get in for taking pictures of things you're eating while driving, which means that there were no hands on the wheel. Not only were there no hands on the wheel, I was on curvy mountain roads. You could probably pull over, but then that would have required me to stop eating the delicious pastry. Like, I realized, okay, this thing's so good, I got to share this with the Run Your Mouth family, but I also can't stop eating it and can't pull over to do this safely. So that's as good of a picture as you're going to get. And this was a s'mores bar. I do like a s'mores bar. I don't know that this had a overwhelmingly good graham cracker quality to it. I don't know that there was necessarily exceptional graham cracker to it, but whatever chocolate chips they were using really balanced this out, made it exceptional. Marshmallows are one of those odd things that if you ever ate a marshmallow, it's not particularly appealing, but you shove it into a brownie, you shove it into ice cream, you shove it into a pastry, it balances out the other stuff. It adds a fine texture. It adds a fine sugar. And by the way, you can even start like getting into that high-end marshmallow game where the core of what you're eating is marshmallow with just other items in it. Not going to work. If you got but you get yourself, for example, I've had s'mores cookies, which are pretty good, where the chocolate and the fluff kind of balances it out. But in this case, anyways, first ever product in the running for the 2024 Run Your Mouth Pastry of the Year is from Stowe Bee Bakery, and it is this delicious-looking s'mores bar. All right, let's get into some news topics. Guittard is the best chocolate chip cookie out there. I'll be curious to try it. I also would venture to guess that a chocolate chip cookie could not be so exceptional that it could be in the running for a Pastry of the Year award. It could be great within its category, but I can't see a chocolate chip cookie being so exceptional that it could like compete with a specialty item like that. All right, this is from the New York Post. And then I got Bobby the Bank coming on, and I do have a whole segment about Biden once again breaking the law to get rid of everyone's student loan debt, which maybe there's some people in this show who are excited about that. And now they'll vote for Biden because he's getting you the free shit that you need. This is from the New York Post. Flight attendant settles armrest debate, but is the dilemma really solved? And I've had this, guys. I might teach a class in the future called armrest jujitsu, where there's certain critical points on the armrest that if you can establish control and dominance of those critical points, you can easily take over the entire thing. The other person, they can't wedge themselves in the right way where they will have no choice but to give up and then take the crossed arm maneuver. That's what happens. At some point, people give up. It's the equivalent of jiu-jitsu tapping. It's the equivalent of getting a tap where either you in your seat or that guy in his seat realizes, I am ceding the armrest to this other more aggressive individual, and now I'm going to have to do this thing for the rest of the flight. Somebody has no choice but to give up the armrest. It can't be shared. You can try and share it. It never works. So here's what you got to do. It's all about the back of the armrest, people. There's other pivotal points. You're going to have to actually buy my DVD. It'll be part of the Lonely Man's Great services. When I get that up and running and I partner with Alibaba and we get shipments of thousands of black t-shirts for $2 a piece because of slave labor in China, and then we break them down into crates, the first people that purchase that will also get copies of my armrest jiu-jitsu, in which I give you all the techniques for how to display dominance of the armrest so that you can enjoy it for the entire flight. All right. So anyways, you get this lady, and the back is very important. You want to try and get your elbow into the back, because then you kind of got a, that's like being in top position. Anyways, flight attendant Sentinel's armrest debate, but his dilemma really solved. This is a flight attendant who is claiming, let's read it. A flight attendant made an announcement right after boarding to clarify who gets to use which armrest on the flight. A United passenger posted on Reddit last week. To my surprise, he was very empathetic that no person gets two armrests. I don't know if I would call that empathetic, but, or maybe I'm not reading that word. Maybe that's a, maybe this is a different word that has nothing to do with empathy. Sometimes you read things out loud and you realize how retarded you are. Anyways, he explained every person is supposed to use the armrest on their right and the left for the other side, and keep the armrest on the aisle clear for carts and people doubt what that's some bullshit. That is a cunty sky waitress who's declaring that the outside armrest only exists for the stupid cart that you push down the aisle. The thing that never, like, especially on shorter flights, we all had to board the plane. We had to wait on the line. You had to get into the seat. And then suddenly you're actually, the takeoff process is over and I can't use the bathroom because you got to hand out water bottles. You can't just put a vending machine in the back of the plane and create more room for bathroom space. You've got your all important job that you got to push a cart down the aisle. And as a result, we can't even, so am I encroaching on your space? Do I have to ask permission of the sky waitress just to use the outer thing? This, that is some bullshit. That's like getting up on the thing and saying, hi, I recommend that everybody leans their seat back and coach. You're an animal if you lean your seat back and coach. Sure. Does it technically lean back? Yes. Should you be doing it? Absolutely not. But with that said, because I'm an aisle seat guy, it does sound like the inner thing. Like, I would understand the argument of the middle seats, the worst seats, they get both the armrests. I would understand that argument. I prefer my my armrest jiu-jitsu strategy of whoever can win it gets it. And sometimes I lose. You know, I'm like a blue belt. Sometimes you get people, they've been flying their whole lives and they're just better establishing armchair dominance. Or you get some guy who's got these giant, like Francis Ngannou shoulders, and he's already in your seat anyways. You've been pushed away from, there's a gap between you and where that armrest even is. But I don't know. Anyone in the chat, do you agree with this nonsense? That the outer one is supposed to be for the cart. Cart doesn't need an armrest. All right, what do we got going on in the comments? Where's my mouse? Here we go. Evil Fandango, if you hold hands, fingers interlinked with the stranger next to you, you can both use the center armrest. That's great. Some caught good tart. We already read that one. Okay, what do we got next? All right, let's get into Joe Biden retrying to cancel student loan debt. This is, I don't even remember where this is from. What to know about Joe Biden's latest attempt at student loan cancellation? President Biden is hoping to deliver on a key campaign promise that he has so far failed to fulfill. On Monday, Biden detailed a proposal that's been in the work for months after the Supreme Court rejected Biden's first try at mass student loan cancellation, which would eliminate at least some debt for more than 30 million Americans, some potentially as soon as this fall. All right, hold on one second. I want to see if Bobby the Bank is coming on, because maybe we'll start this segment after him. All right, let's get into it. He's not here yet. He will show up. So basically, I think what we got here is Joe Biden really wants to win an election, and he's just basically going, Who needs something for free? He said it's illegal, but if I learn anything from my prostate, as long as you keep just dripping, drip, 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 you get it, I'll get you all your money. I'll get it to you. I promise you, I'll get you guys, I'll get your money. I'll do what we did with the Ukraine. How is this? I mean, guys, it was already slammed down by the Supreme Court that Congress would have to pass some new laws. And who's taking the haircut here? Where does the money actually come from? Like, what does he call up Freddie Mac and then they just got to write it off? Or like, is someone forced to take a loss amongst here? Do colleges have to take a haircut on what they're actually owed? Does someone get the money clawed back on account of the fact that you sold people on something that would never actually make them enough money that they could repay it? Sounds like you sold people a bad investment. You told them, hey, you spend 4 years here and you give us this money. We're going to give you the skills you need to go make money and then you'll pay us. And listen, we'll lend you this. That's how sure we are that our product is good. We will help you pay for it because we know that once you have those skills, you'll be able to get out into the workplace and you will make so much money, you'll have no problem repaying us. Isn't that the pitch of college? And if they were wrong about that, shouldn't we be clawing this back? Shouldn't we be arresting deans and principals, going back to our fifth and sixth grade teachers and yelling at them that they lied to us? But here you go, Joe Biden. He's got another workaround. The polls aren't looking good. Everything's going to shit. So he's got to figure out, how can I make sure that this core voting group is actually just going to get some free money? All right, so let's take a look at some of the articles explaining Joe Biden's newest plan for student loan relief. Biden promotes life-changing student loan relief in Wisconsin as he rallies younger voters. And rallies is that's a bold word for Biden. I mean, whispers might be a little bit better. Begs you to overlook the other problems of his minute. Don't look at the wars. Don't look at the Israel thing. Or the immigration thing that gets in the way of you having jobs. Don't look at that. Or the price is going up. Don't look at that either. I don't want to. Here's some free stuff. All right. Biden said he wanted to give everybody a fair shot and the freedom to chase their dreams. And, you know, what about the kids that didn't go to school? When you went to school, wasn't that you chasing your dreams? And then you failed at your dreams of becoming a DEI officer? Right. You went to school with the dream of becoming the person who could be hired by a corporation to make sure that, like, you as a white person wanted to go and get a job at Walmart to make sure that they were being nice to the minorities. And then you found out that they didn't really need a white person to go do that job. Or you really studied gender studies. And then all of a sudden, you know, your whole thing about how women aren't being treated as fairly as men. And it got totally distorted when men started becoming women. And then you're like, there aren't even genders. Why am I studying these genders? And then you found out that even if you had a total understanding of it and the gender science studies weren't changing on you all the time, you still wouldn't have gotten a job with it anyways. So didn't these kids already live their dream? They lived their dream. They pursued their dream when they went to school and they were lied to about, you know, that was the dream. Was going to school, partying, learning something really stupid, and then thinking you were going to win the lottery and get a job with your really stupid skill set. That was your chance at your dream. And some people are living that dream. Some people have figured out how to make lucrative careers out of what they were taught in school. And then other people, they went and they didn't get those DEI officer jobs, or they were fired from those DEI officer jobs, or they realized that the world doesn't need fairness police. All right, let's read the next quote. This is, I don't know where this was from. Since then, the White House has pursued debt relief through other targeted initiatives, including those for public service workers and low-income borrowers. Administration officials said they have canceled $144 billion in student loans for almost 4 million Americans. This is where it gets confusing, where at first they tried to get rid of a whole lot of this stuff, and then that got overruled by the Supreme Court. And then they got rid of, it's like, you know what it is? I guess everyone's keeping quiet about whether or not they got a check so that we don't hate them. There's people out there, right? And they their student loans off the hook, and they're not going out there and going, thank you, Biden, because then we'll be like, you motherfucker, you got free money? They took care of your fucking debt. And then you start looking on the person's Instagram page and you're like, look at all the vacations that this person took. I want to know, can we get a public record of where all this money goes to so that we can shame these individuals? Let's find out. Let's find out what the lifestyle of those parents were. Let's find out how many coffees they're drinking in a day. Let's find out what kind of bars they go to on the weekend. Let's find out what their drug habits are. Let's find out the homes that they live in, the vacations they're taking, and the pictures that they're posting on Instagram. I want to know where that $144 billion went. Listen, if some of it went to, you know, these people live in rural communities, got their four kids. And, well, you know, at some point there's some people, they're like, listen, I don't like these government programs, but at least the fact that the money made it to you, it seems like you really need it. All right. Listen, I prefer if we didn't have the program. And I know that most of the time the programs get in the way, but in this particular case, it seemed like it worked out. But what percentage of this do you just think went to some affluent whiny cunts? All right. And then this is, I got to start marking where I was getting these things from. I apologize today. I didn't mark the articles. Concerns about the war have spread throughout the Madison's area, said Democratic Mep Mark Pokin. And it's basically Biden going, I know you don't like that we're bombing kids in Gaza, but I have some money. Free stuff, right? Everyone, you guys like the free stuff. Some young voters have been impatient with Biden's attempt to wipe away student loan debt. The Supreme Court last year foiled his first attempt to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars in loans, a decision that Biden called a mistake. That also sucks, thinking that your student loan was debt and then finding out that you still have to pay it. Or if you were in the first category of people who were told that your student loan debt was being forgiven and then they got the new plan and it's not being forgiven. And then also, how is it that the government is allowed to, like, you know, they're allowed to do something that's illegal? It finally gets to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court goes, hey, you're not allowed to do that. That's illegal. And then instead of trying to do things that aren't illegal, they take time, money, and resources to figure out how to work around what the Supreme Court what said was illegal. That's what we're spending our tax dollars on, is leadership that enacts things that the Supreme Court strikes down as being unconstitutional, and then them trying to refigure out how they can do the exact same thing. Since then, the White House has pursued debt relief through other targeted initiatives, including those for public service workers and low-income borrowers. Administration officials said they had canceled $144 billion in student loans for almost 4 million Americans. And then this was from the week, same thing. Biden pitches student loan forgiveness for millions. Trump should turn around, because if this is just about basically rewarding your voters, your voting bloc, with some free stuff, I feel like Trump should just get out there and going, not only am I going to get you a wall, free houses for welders, you vote for me, I'm going to pay off your houses. Nobody should be stuck with a house. I build them. I know they're expensive. I even lie about their evaluations, get in trouble in New York City. I understand the finances are tough. Vote for me. Free house, free walls. Oh, and then one more. We are not concerned about an inflationary effect. That's always fun. That's always fun. There's a great scene. If you never saw that movie, I think it was called Vice, and it was about Dick Cheney and the Bush administration. And there's that scene where someone comes to Dick Cheney and they're like, aren't you concerned about, or we have concerns about all the costs that you're spending on these wars and where this funding's coming from. And Dick Cheney's like, well, I don't share those concerns with you. Well, I still think it's a problem. We're not concerned about the inflationary effect of giving all this free money to people. And of course they should be. I think the prices overall are up like 20%. Since Biden is in office, and they've got another bad inflation report this past month coming down the wire into election season. This is going to be a weird election, because you're going to have to basically decide between if you want to be able to afford things or get an abortion. That's where we are as a country. This is people's hierarchy of what they're voting for, is that you're going to have some women who are like, man, you know, I'd really like to be able to afford things in my life again and not work a job where the prices are going up all the time. But like, I guess if I'm forced to have a kid that I didn't want to have, that's going to cost me a lot of money too. That's where it is a country. You get to pick, you know, what amongst your hierarchy of what's actually important to you as a country. And the dueling things right now are whether or not I want to be able to afford things or have an abortion. And then this was from the Wall Street Journal, Biden's latest lawless debt forgiveness. Nonetheless, borrowers who can't find or don't want gainful employment could get their loans canceled by simply claiming a hardship. One example the White House gives is child care expenses. Get ready for an elastic definition of hardship. Speaking of moral hazards, the administration plan will encourage colleges to raise costs, especially in graduate programs. So if you look at student loan debt, it's kind of seems like a just classic credit asset bubble type situation. You make more funds available. And so what do? You increase the demand, you increase the amount of money that can be provided or charged for. And so colleges, you didn't make college more affordable. You just saddled kids with more debt. You looked at the cost of college and you said, we want to make sure that everyone can afford this. And so you start handing out money in the colleges. You didn't work out a plan where they weren't allowed to raise their prices. So you know what they did? Every single time you made more money available, they just kept raising their prices. Didn't make it any more affordable. You just saddled kids with more debt in order to go get do the exact same thing. And now if you're going to write down that debt and you're just going to throw it out, you're just going to let colleges charge even more money. because they're going to be like, hey, listen, you're not even going to have to pay for this in the future. Hey, don't worry, $50,000. You know how many kids came in here, spent $250,000, partied for 4 years, lived at their parents' house, got into fentanyl, finally cleaned up their shit, age 32, got themselves a job, and then never repaid 1 cent of this? Go to graduate school. You might as well stay in the system for as long as possible. $200,000, don't worry. Someone's going to come around in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they're going to be losing an election, and they're going to throw this right in the garbage. You take on as much debt as you want. And then the colleges themselves going, this worked out great. We can charge even more. Look at this. The whole thing's it's on Uncle Sam anyways. Here's what really pisses me off about this. I mean, there's a bunch of things, but the fact that, so if you can claim hardship. So once again, we're going to reward whoever just complains the best. I hope you're really good at complaining, because if you're just good at proving the fact that you're the one person who can't afford the debt that you took on for whatever reason, well, then you'll get off the hook. Once again, just figuring out who can complain the best. Well, then here's some free stuff. And no, is that going to lead to a reverse incentive for better complainers in the future? Of course not. That's the world that we're going to live in. Just make sure that you and your kids get degrees and are really good at complaining, because as long as you can prove hardship, every one of your problems will go away in life. Just make sure that you're good at complaining. All right, continuing in the article, the administration is essentially turning college into an open-ended taxpayer-financed entitlement by canceling loans on an installment plan, if even boasts that it has already approved $146 billion in student debt relief for 4 million Americans, though more than two dozen executive actions, that's $36,500 per borrower. It's good to be the king. This makes no sense. The problem with student costs is that you drove up the things by making too much funds available. And then also you let these colleges pitch kids on majors that won't make them any money and no one gets in trouble for it. People should be going to jail. If they scam kids into taking on money for majors, and why wouldn't we further explore not making this money available in these amounts if people can't repay it? Like, what other product exists on the market where you can promise someone a return on investment and then you scam them out of their money, and so the government just comes in and goes, oh, well, we'll refund that, but keep purchasing those investments. We need everyone to continue. Imagine if, like, General Electric Finance, you know, we're selling people investments, and then the government not only bailed them out, but I guess that's what they did in the housing market too. They bailed out the banks and told people, hey, we're keep buying the houses, stay in the housing market. But it isn't it crazy? The core of the problem is that you made funding available and you ruined the incentive structure of colleges to try and make their product affordable. And so the prices just went up as you made more of the money available. And then they were able to offer even shittier and shittier degrees and majors because I guess there was more money in the system. And then they never get in trouble if nobody gets a job. No one gets to show up to their college and return their education. You don't get to do that. You just get saddled with the debt. And then the government comes in at the end of it. They get rid of the debt. And nobody that lied to you and pretended like the degree you got was a good idea gets in trouble. And not only that, they don't even change the degrees. They don't change the amount of money that's going to be available to these schools. The whole thing just continues. And I guess a couple people walk away with free money, the free experience, and then they get to step back into the game. Now they don't have that student debt. They can go buy those houses. That's really what Biden's doing. He's going, let me get you back into the game. It's a casino. That's what it is. It's a casino. And every once in a while, you were a big spender. You put your trust into that casino and you lose too much. And they go, hey, here's a free $500 chip. Why don't you get back into the game? That's what they're doing to these kids. They were the biggest suckers in the system and the most loyal and biggest suckers. They're now out of the game. They're out of the casino. They can't participate. And so Joe Biden is trying to put them back in so that he can resaddle them with debt and get them into a home on something else that they can't afford. All right. This is going to be for the leftover shows. Leftover show ensures they're spying on your home from the sky. That's if there's ever been a tease for checking out the leftover show down the line. It's an article about how insurers are spying on your home from the sky. Do you guys want to know about that one? Well, leftover call-in show coming soon. Brought to you by YoKratom.com, home with a $60 kilo. I don't know what the situation is in Brazil. I have not followed that story yet. I haven't dug into that story yet, but I look at a picture of this guy and I feel like the demons are getting a little bit too comfortable. And I say that as a defender of bald men. I am a bald man beauty activist. That's what I do. Yeah, I'm out moisturizing, trying to keep my scalp fresh so that I can be a upstanding member of the bald community. And I can inspire other young bald men to just shave their heads and move on with their lives. But then you get individuals like this. I don't know what's going on with his eyebrows. I don't know when in his life one of his relatives had sex with a bat. Maybe or maybe wasn't a vampire. Maybe had something to do with Fauci. I bet this is the guy that was actually in the lab mixing the stuff together. But I'm just saying the fact that this guy is overruling some sort of a court case in just showing himself during the daytime is just making me think that the demons are they're getting a little bit too comfortable. Abortion politics in 2024. We'll save that for the next episode. Shooting parents sentenced to up to 15 years. This is a crazy story. So out of Michigan, you had these parents, their kids, one of their kids was a school shooter, and now the parents are getting 15 years basically for negligent parenting. And maybe we'll explore this and find out just how negligent they were, but how bad of a parent would have to be the standard? Like, how negligent do you have to be that you're actually responsible for the actions of your kids? Because otherwise, you know, if you people are going to have some shitty kids. You don't want to have a shitty kid. It's not your goal to have a shitty kid. And there's some people that just shouldn't be parents and they probably shouldn't be having kids. But what is the right one? You want to incentivize more people to have abortions? You're going to step up and be like, listen, you better make sure you really want to have that kid, because if they go ahead and they do something real shitty, you're going to be in trouble for it. And so is this across the board? Parents are going to be responsible for behavior of kids. And by the way, we're not talking about like an 8 or 9 or 10 year old. This was a 14 or 15 year old, 15 years old, shot up the school. And I don't know how negligent the parents were. I guess maybe if you had a child with mental illness, you bought them a gun, you brought them down to the basement, you trained them in shooting. Isn't this, it seems like a step on general free will and people being responsible for their own actions to say that parents need to serve jail time if they had, you know, shitty kids. And I wonder if that child was on medication, because that's also a creepy part of this school shooting thing is if, you know, you put a million kids on Adderall and one of them goes and shoots up a school. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that every school shooter has been on Adderall, but then to turn around and say the parents or someone else is at fault seems like a little bit much. All right. I believe that's going to be our episode. I don't know what happened to Bobby the Bank. I guess we'll have to reschedule. You know, I put up the Sheath logo just so that he would feel especially welcome, but we'll catch up with him on another episode for some business tips. Porch Store coming at. But firstly, this weekend, if you guys are out in Portland, I'm open up for Dave Smith. We are doing a theater out there, which is pretty cool. I don't think we've solo done a theater before. So if you guys are out in the Portland area, come hang out. Other than that, a whole bunch of Dave Smith dates. Go to comicdavesmith.com for all those. You can email me robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Basically got May, June, July booked up. Dates going to be released soon. Got some Florida dates, but if you got a spot in Florida, I could add a Florida spot. And that's it. The episode's over. Thank you for hanging out with us. Back next week, probably Monday and Wednesday for new episodes. Thank you for hanging out. Oh, we can take a couple comments. Hell yeah. Nick Mullen Thursday, Dave and Rob Friday. Where's Nick Mullen playing on Thursday? I got a flight that lands at 11. Nick Mullen's great. Is he the same theater? Barry Lorand, A minus Rob, Mr. 93%. I'm okay with that. Benny the Jet, good episode later. And then lastly, everyone should have a cat or dog before having kids. All right. Later, everybody. Back.